Scripture reading is taken here from Psalm 66. Psalm 66, and let me read to you this psalm. Your Bible with you, you can follow silently. Psalm 66, to the chief musician, a song of song. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Psalm 66, verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me, for he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. The Lord bless this reading of his word.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God and I thank your pastor and the session for this privilege where I can share with you from God's word this morning. Please keep your Bibles turned to Psalm 66, where we shall focus our study on a very significant and important topic. A topic that we have been doing Sunday after Sunday, and sadly at times without proper consideration and understanding. As I sat here on the stage this morning, I looked at many of your faces as you started this service. We sang hymns after hymns. But how many of us really sang those hymns from our hearts, whereby we really meant every word of what we sing? Some of us, our lips were moving, but our heads were turning left and right. Some of us were not even singing. We just stare into outer space. Have you ever asked yourself, why do we have him singing? Why don't we just come in here, get you to give your tithe and offering, have a short pastoral prayer, listen to God's word, close in prayer, and we walk out? Why do we begin with hymns? Why do we end with a hymn, with a benediction? Why do we do all these things? Praise is the privilege that God has given to us. When I was a little boy, I remember that when we bow down to idols, we never sing, not even once. When my dad passed away, there was not one hymn, not one singing, not one song, nothing. He was not a believer. Sure, there were monks who were there who did some chanting, but they chanted in a sound or in a language that nobody understood, not even them perhaps. But there was definitely no singing. When I first went to church, and then they said, turn to this hymn, and I was handed a hymnal. For the first time in my life, I noticed that this book, the hymnal, had no pagination. They went by hymn numbers. Strange. A very strange book. And so I started to examine. And then they started singing. I've never heard any of these hymns before in my life. I wasn't a Christian. I've never attended church. This was my first time. And then I attended week after week. And then very soon I attended my first vigil service of a church member who had gone home to be with the Lord. And then to my amazement, they sing songs. They're supposed to be weeping and crying. Someone had died. But they sang song after song after song. And they preach on words of encouragement, of hope, of seeing the loved one again. Why is praise so precious and so important in the Christian walk? When a Christian or when a sinner becomes a Christian, the Bible tells us that the angels will rejoice and sing praise in heaven. Why is singing so wonderful, so amazing? Because singing is something that is so unusual. It's so different. Sure, we sing. And I was an unbeliever. We sing a lot of songs, love songs. We sing of songs of the world. We sing of dream songs, sentimental songs. And today you have all kinds of songs, and most of them are so earthbound with their loud music. It's horrendous. It creates a kind of feeling and emotions in us that is unchristian. But when Christian sings hymns, it is different. It creates in us a joy, a sense of feeling and understanding, especially when we sing it from our hearts. Not when we just sing it perfunctorily as if we're just going through the motion. And that's the scary part, because we have been Christians for so many years. We do it just out of a ritual, without proper concentration, and definitely without understanding. Not the words that we are singing. We don't. What was the first hymn we sang this morning? Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, thine the glory. Praise the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord, thine the glory. Revive us again. A wonderful, tremendous hymn of praise, of thanksgiving. But the way that we sang, maybe perhaps because we are Chinese, Chinese somehow can't sing like the Koreans. We can't sing like the Africans. We are just people who just simply don't have the kind of lung power. I do not know why. The Filipinos, they can sing very well. The Indonesians also can sing very well. I've not heard that the Japanese sing, but the Koreans are fantastic. Somehow, God had created for them a kind of lung power. When I was a student in Far Eastern Bible College, there was this Korean man who was a one-man choir who would practice on Friday evening. And when he sings, the whole compound will reverberate with his voice, with his hymn, that he will sing from his heart. Perhaps he was rehearsing, he was practicing, but somehow they have it in them. When we were in Nairobi, same thing. Every chapel morning when we were there, the chairman would have to stop the students from volunteering to come up and give song items. In our context, we have to beg and beg and beg for someone to please come up, please come up. We are so self-conscious, and we come up, we are so full of ourselves that we dare not even sing out. But for them, they will sing and then they will sway and they will just sing it, just sing naturally. Somehow this musical part of us, God somehow left it out in the Chinese. We don't have it. We just simply don't have it. Why is that so? Don't we have anything to praise and to thank God for? There must be. I mean, just sing it from your heart. It's as if the way that we sing never passes through the ceiling like the balloon up there. You see, you know, there's a balloon up there? Blue colored balloon. Maybe that is a sign telling us that's how far our singing reached. Right up to the ceiling, that's it. It did not go all the way up to the Lord, to heaven itself. Because we did not sing it from our hearts. And when we look at our own lives, our walk with the Lord, do we have anything to praise God for? Anything at all? Praise my soul, the King of heaven. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. The King of heaven. Three reasons to praise Him from Psalm 66. The first reason is the greatness of God. The greatness of God in the creation around us, in the world around us. The greatness of God. Do you see the greatness of God around you? Every morning you wake up, you see the balloon is coming down after the illustration. See, it's coming down now. Why? I don't know. I didn't control this. There's no remote control. It just came down on its own after I finished the illustration. Do you have anything to praise God for because of His greatness? Look at your own life. Look at the world around us. Do you see the greatness of God? The psalmist did. Look at how the psalmist described the greatness of God from verses 1 to 7. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, and that includes us in Singapore. Make a joyful noise. It's just not making a noise. It has supposed to be a joyful noise. Many of us just simply make a noise. When we make a noise, it means we don't understand what we are singing. We just make a noise. We sing sweet hour of prayer and content ourselves with 10 or 15 minutes a day. True? That's making a noise, not a joyful noise. We sing, oh, for a thousand tongues, and we don't use the one we have for praise. We sing, there shall be showers of blessings, but we don't come when it's raining. We don't come to church. We don't come for prayer meeting. We have other more important things to do. But we sing, there shall be showers of blessings anyway. That's making a noise. We sing, blessed be the tie that binds, and then we let the smallest little offense that we experience and encounter in our relationship with one another to sever our fellowship, our relationship. We blessed be the tie that binds. Does it really bind? We sing, onward Christian soldiers, and we wait to be drafted into His service. We sit there, we're just so contented with coming to church, give up our tithe and offering, and then we scoot off. We don't serve. No commitment. No desire. We make a noise, but not a joyful noise. We sing, serve the Lord with gladness, and then we gripe about all that we have to do. The rest of them are not serving. Why is it must be me all the time? First one to be here, last one to leave. Nobody say thank you. Murmur and complain. Why is the other person not working? Why am I the only one who keep on serving and serving and serving? And then we sing, serve the Lord with gladness. We make a noise, but not a joyful noise. We sing, I love to tell the story, but we never tell anyone the story. What story? Of Christ and His love for me. But the psalmist was different. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. What do you have to sing for? What's so joyful? Well, he tells us in verse 2, sing forth the honor of His name, make His praise glorious. Say unto God, not unto men. Singing is never unto men. Praise is never man-word. That's why when the choir sing, you do not see any of us clap hands after they finish, because they are not performing. They are not supposed to sing to us. Sure, they sing for our encouragement, but they're singing to God. And that's exactly what we are to do. When we have our hymn singing, it is our praise to God. We sing unto God. But what about the glorious power, His greatness? That's exactly what the psalmist saw in his God. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Pause. Pause to consider this. Sing to God, the great God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. Take stock and be still for a moment. Look at the world around us. Sure, it may be spinning out of control, as it were, as if God had gone to sleep with the rise of the cost of petrol, with terrorism, with the immorality around us, going global. I was just told last night that California is a state that had just been passed by the governor legalizing sodomy. Are you shocked? The Bible already prophesied and told us that in the last days before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the world would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality will be on the rise. Every major city will be affected. That's what the Bible tells us. So do not be shocked, do not be surprised, but be ready. Be ready for what? For the Lord to return. Is the Lord still in control? Definitely so. Because He already prophesied that these things will happen more than 2,000 years before it actually happened. So you think God is not aware of the rise in immorality? You think God is not aware when the economy of the world will turn crazy? It is said that by the year 2030, when China becomes a first world country, you have 1.3 billion people. That's a lot of people using petrol. It is said that that country alone would use up all the oil that is pumped out in the world today. That means the rest of the world will have no oil to use once China becomes a first world country. Every part of it. We're in trouble. Are you surprised that there will be economic chaos, military chaos, political chaos all over the world? Should not be. Because the Lord already told us that the Antichrist will come and He will bring peace. And why would the world long for peace unless the world has been experiencing no peace? That means war and disruption for a season of time. And then suddenly when there is this one genius, the capital A Antichrist, he will arise and he will bring peace, because Daniel described him as an individual with many eyes. That means he is going to be very brilliant. He's going to solve the world's problem. And when that happens, the world will kowtow to him by even surrendering their sovereignty. Because if they don't, they die, they starve. So he will solve the world's economic problem, military problem, political problem, religious problem. He's going to solve the world's problem. And then the moment you hear peace, peace, then what did the Bible say? The Lord will come as a thief in the night. So is God in control? Definitely, because He prophesied more than 2,000 years ago. And if it were in the days of Daniel, even further back, because Daniel lived in the 6th century BC. Is He in control? Definitely, the greatness of our God. Take a step back. Very often we are so busy. The moment we wake up, we just, some of us will go through the motion in our quiet time. Some of us don't even do our quiet time. We brush our teeth, we read our papers, we have our breakfast, then we rush off to work. And then we have no time to even think of God, think of His greatness, how powerful He is, how He is in control. And very often, we don't even see that He's in control of our puny little life. And we take matters into our own hands. We think that by our ability, by my training, by my experience, by my connections, I am the one who is holding my job intact. It is not. It is God. It is God who is holding you intact, holding your job intact, your family intact. It is God. And unless and until we see the greatness of God in our lives, it'll be very hard to praise Him. Make a noise, yes, we all can. But a joyful noise? Very hard. The greatness of God, how powerful and how He's in control of the whole world. He's in control of the whole of Singapore. He's in control of who will be the next president of America. He's in control of every nation. Who will be the superpower and who will be brought down is in God's control. You think America will be a superpower forever and ever? The way that you and I look at America today was the same way that the people looked at Nebuchadnezzar in Nebuchadnezzar's time. That's how they look at the Babylonian Empire. The same way they look at the Grecian Empire with Alexander the Great. The same way they look at the Caesars during the Roman Empire. But where are these empires now? Where are they today? More recent would be the British Empire. They said and they boasted the sun never set on the British Empire because of the vastness of this empire. And that was true. Some years back, after the Second World War, they declined. A new superpower arose, the American Empire. Will it continue? It will fall. The only empire that will last for eternity is that of Christ. It's that of Jesus Christ. Forever and ever and ever, He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He is God Almighty. The greatness of God. See the greatness of God around us. See the greatness of God in your life. And if that is not good enough, look at the next few verses. Verse 5 to verse 7. Come and see the works of God. See the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruled by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. So those who will not praise Him will automatically be charged with exalting themselves. I have nothing to praise God for because He did not do anything in my life. For the Israelites, they remembered the parting of the Red Sea. They remembered how they were slaves in the hands of the most powerful nation at the time in that region, the Egyptians. And how God depleted them and defeated them with 10 powerful plagues. And then they were boxed in. In front of them was the Red Sea. Behind them, Pharaoh and his chariots. And then the Lord split the Red Sea, gave them dry land, and they walked across. They just simply walked across on foot, while the Lord protected them against the enemy and against the sea itself. And dear friends, the Lord had delivered us from an enemy far greater than the Egyptians, than the Red Sea. It is your sin and my sin. Has He not delivered us from the bondage of sin? The greatness of God has defeated our last and final enemy called death. We don't even have to fear death at all. You look at your own life, the greatness of God, personally, not just around the region, the area around us, but in the spiritual realm, in your own soul. The greatness of God by sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to die for your sins and to die for you and to die for me, so that you and I will not need to be punished for our own sins. The greatness of God had defeated death. There is nothing on earth that you and I should be afraid of. Because safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are protected by His sovereign hand. The greatness of God. So much so that even if I have to lose my job, the greatness of God still stands. If I have to lose my health, the greatness of God still stands in my life. Even if I have to lose my life, my freedom, whatever it is, the greatness of God still stands. Is that not what God promised us in Romans 8? The greatness of God in the world around us, the greatness of God in your life, see it in your salvation. In other words, that's the pass for praise. If you are not saved, no amount of praise, no amount of music, no matter how good your voice may sound, will God ever accept your praise. Because you are not His child. You are still his enemy. But the moment you become a child of God, the moment you experience the deliverance from sin, from death, from hell, you become God's children. And God says, your praises will be accepted by the Lord himself. Is that not reason enough for us to sing joyful noises, joyful hymns from our hearts to him? That's the purpose of beginning our worship services with singing. To end our worship with singing. Singing somehow has a tremendous impact. A number of white children had been recaptured in the West from the Indians, the Red Indians. They could give no account of themselves because they had forgotten who they were. A mother who had lost two children years before went to seek her lost ones among them. And so these children who were captured by the Red Indians, and they have grown up and now they are brought back. And so this mother who had been looking for his two sons, they have grown too big. She could not recognize them any longer. The children were drawn up in line for inspection. But she could not recognize any of them as hers. She turned away, weeping, but soon began to sing a hymn that had been her children's lullaby song. Scarce a line had been sung when her two lost children rushed from the line, exclaiming, "Mama, Mama!" The power of singing. That's the amazing wonder of not just uttering words in prayer, but praise through singing, through hymn singing. Somehow it had an impact that words cannot fully capture nor describe. That's why singing of hymns is something that the psalmist will constantly, continuously do in their days, in their age and in their time. And when Christianity came to the West, many hymns, hundreds and thousands of hymns based upon scriptures were penned with amazing tunes to lift our hearts, to lift our soul, to lift our voices in praise of God Almighty, because He is great. The greatness of God around us and the greatness of God in your life. And if we do not see the greatness of God around us and the greatness of God in our lives, how sad it is. We just come and we play church. We come and we treat this as just an outing. How would you describe coming to church in your life? Is it an outing? Or is it something that you do because of a guilty conscience? Or because you love to come, to be among Christians, to know that coming to church and worshipping together is something that every child of God will do for all eternity, whereby there will be no more goodbye, we are not going to go home anymore, because this is home. In heaven, that's what we are going to do. We are going to sing praises of the praises of the praises. Study the book of Revelation. The saints will be raptured. The Bible says God will put a new song in their heart, and they are going to sing praises and thanksgiving when they see Christ seated on his throne in heaven itself. And we are going to sing and sing and sing and sing. And that's why every worship service, there must be hymn singing. And that's why it is most important that we sing a joyful song from our hearts. And it is very hard to do that if we do not see the greatness of God and the world around us, that He is in control. It may have the appearance of spinning out of control, and evil men seem to rise up and continue to conquer. But the Lord is in control, the greatness of God. And that's why the warning is, ye people who are proud, do not exalt yourself, you who are rebellious. God will deal with you. You will not escape. Nobody will. And that's why as God's children, we have so much to praise and to thank Him for, and do it from our hearts, with our lips. Praise Him, sing unto Him a joyful noise. If this is not reason enough, then the second reason, the greatness of God in the world and the guidance of God in your life. The guidance of God in the life of His people. Look at verses 8 to 12. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Why? Which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. The simple reason is that you have life in your body. God is the one who has kept us. God is the one who has enabled us to wake up this morning. And when you go to sleep tonight, the next morning it is God who has given to us another day. And another day. And another day. Don't take it for granted that the moment you lay down to sleep, you're going to wake up. Don't assume that. It is not because you are young and healthy and you'll be popping in all the vitamins that has been keeping your life. It is God. The guidance of God in your life. And unless you and I are very conscious of God's guidance day by day, He is the one who has kept us that our feet be not moved. We are still in our faith. We still have the Lord. We still have our family. We still have whatever things that we continue to enjoy that we must never take for granted. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. The first thing that causes us to lose our focus would be adversity, would be sufferings, would be the feeling of being trapped, being subdued. That was how the psalmist felt. For a moment. For a moment. That's how he described it. You have proved us as Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. When silver is burnt nearly 1,000 degrees, Thou broughtest us into the net as if we are trapped, we are captured. Thou hast caused men, verse 12, to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water as if we are being burned, as if we are being drowned. But, notice the but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. After we have gone through our trial, our adversity, our testing, can you and I not say like Job, after he had endured so much, the loss of all his wealth, his children, the loss of his health, and at the end of his trial and testing, what did he declare? He declared to God and to his own soul, I thought I knew God. But after all that he had experienced, the wealth of his relationship with God, he said, now I have seen God. How wonderful it is when God knows how much we could take and He allowed us to go through it. And at the end of it, when we have continued to trust Him through our trial, you look back on the trial and you said, how wonderful is the grace and the mercies of God in my life. That's the wealth. A closeness with God that money cannot buy. It can only be felt and be experienced when you go through trial with God by your side. The guidance of God leading us. So in other words, praising God must not be determined by the circumstances. We praise God when we are healthy and strong, when we just receive our big bonus. End of the year is coming, right? You're expecting bonus? So you should praise God more in December if bonus comes. No bonus? Oh yeah, nothing to praise God for. The psalmist said, no, even when I'm going through trial and difficulties, it's not based upon circumstances. It's based upon God's guidance in my life. And very often the guidance of God is not felt, is not experienced by me when things are smooth sailing. Very often we forget Him. But when I'm going through trials and testings, and then God is so near to me, and he praised the Lord. Praising the Lord is not dependent upon circumstances, dear friends. It's dependence upon the nearness of God, the guidance of God in your life. How real he is to you. And through trials and testing, that's the time we need to praise him the most. Because he is with us. The loss of loved one, the best time to praise. The loss of health, the loss of job, best time to praise. That's how the psalmist described it. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Wealthy place. Not a poverty, not poor, wealthy. not measured by dollars and cents, far from it. Relationship, nearness, closeness with God. Sometimes we think that the maturity of a Christian just comes automatically with age. And very often we think that we have been Christians for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of our lives, simply because I just sit there and grow old and my hair turns white or my hair falls off, then automatically I become a mature Christian. All you have is just an old body. That's it. That's it. A mature Christian doesn't come with just sitting there and let time pass. It doesn't work that way. Mature Christian is like what the Bible describes. It's like burning gold and purifying silver. Burn it and burn it and burn it until all the dross is burned away because of the high melting point in these precious metal. That any impurities that are found in gold and in silver, that it goes under the purifying fire, all the dross will be burnt up. And unless and until your life is guided by God, whereby you learn to trust God in the most difficult time of your life, you will not grow. You will have absolutely nothing to praise Him for. You will not see His guiding hands because you have been going your way, contrary your own life, doing what you want, not what the Lord wants with you. And that's why there is nothing for any one of us to praise God for. Whatever we want to do, we just do based upon how much money we have. Money power, money talks, we say. Do you pray and ask the Lord to guide you, to help you? Before you make any decision, before you go even on a holiday? Where your children should go to school? What kind of job should I get? Should I work in this place or should I not work in this place? We don't even ask God. We don't even consult God. We don't even pray until we are stuck. Then we ask the Lord. God is not an emergency exit that we go to in case there is a fire. God is our main door. He wants us to ask Him in everything. Pray without ceasing, He says. Without ceasing. The guidance of God in our life is so real, because without it, you cannot have the third reason, and that is the nearness of God. If you do not see the guiding hand of God in our lives, you do not experience the nearness of God in your walk, in your life. And so when we come to church, we don't have much to praise and to thank God for, because He is not real. He's not real at all. That's a sad part. Why do we sing, dear friends? The psalmist had so much to sing, to thank God for. The one who gave this testimony had a dear friend named Bill Mann, who had one of the great singing voices in the Christian church in his country. This man said, "I remember some years ago, Bill Mann told me about the most special concert in his life. It was after the concert was over and he returned to his dressing room. Waiting for him was a woman who was blind, deaf and mute. Through the lady who was with her, she asked if he would sing for her the last song he sang in the concert. Surely, he said, and standing only 5 inches from his face and placing her fingers on his lips and on his vocal cord, because she was blind and she was mute and she was deaf. He sang again this hymn, 'Were you there when they crucified my Lord?' And as he finished singing, a tear trickled down the face of Helen Keller. Indistinctively, she said, as the words were repeated by the lady with her, she said, 'I was there.' Deaf, blind, mute from birth, you might say. Isn't that too much for one individual to bear? No, as a matter of fact, of all the women in this nation, there was probably no contemporary who gave others more insight into the meaning of suffering than Helen Keller, a more insight into the love of God." Mute, can't sing. Deaf, can't hear. Blind, can't see. She had to feel, to hear the hymn. And what do we have? We have all these senses with us. And what do we do with them? We look at the world. We lust after the world. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And then in our heart, the pride. And we have such individuals. People like Fanny Crosby, blind, able to write hundreds and hundreds of hymns to encourage us. They can't see. And we have so much, and we have taken so much from God for granted. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Will you not do that? The third reason is the nearness of God in your life. How near is He to you? Is He a God who is so near to you that you know that He is with you right now? Everywhere you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. The psalmist did. That's why he said this. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. He made vows when he was in trouble and the Lord helped him sinning through. And then he would come to God's house and he would give of his tithes, of his offerings. So much to thank God for. How has your week been, dear friends? Today is the first day of a new week. Do you have much to thank God for? To keep your vows, to give up your tithe and offering meaningfully. Don't just go through the motion, last minute just grab something out of your wallet and put it in there. Never come to church for worship empty-handed. Guiding principle. Why? Because we have so much to thank God for in the past week. A new week is before us. Will we live through this week? Do you assume that you would? In your going out, in your coming in, with all your planning, your children going to school, coming back, with whatever you may have planned, do you see the nearness of God, the guidance of God, and the greatness of God? That when you come to church, that you have brought an offering with thanksgiving in your hands and with hymns of praise and thanksgiving from your heart. So much to thank God for. Thank you, Lord. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. And then you bring with joy. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings, the very best I would give thee. With the incense of rams, the very best animals. I will offer bullocks together with goats. These are all the most expensive animals, clean animals that God would accept. And the psalmist says, I will bring the very best to my Lord. Because He is great, because He is good. He had guided me, He had watched over me, and He is near me. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. And what has He done for your soul? That you want to declare to the whole world, to God Himself. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled. Extolled means highly, greatly praised with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Perhaps that's our problem, isn't it? That's our problem, because we regard iniquity in our hearts. We nursed our sin. We hold on to it. We will not let go of this unforgiving spirit. That's our problem. Sin. And unless you and I will deal with our sin, we can't see the greatness of God. We can't experience the guidance of God. And the nearness of God is something that we hear from the lips of others, but not felt in our own hearts. But verily God hath heard me, the psalmist cried. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Now the word prayer is a very unusual word. This word literally speaks of God giving close attention to my prayers, and He experienced this in His heart. Close attention. It's not just praying. It is an experience that God heard, and He pays close attention to my prayers. And so, did the psalmist have much to praise and to thank God for? Yes. Yes. Because of the walk that he had with the Lord. Because of the guidance of God in his life, the nearness of God and the greatness of God that he sees around and in his heart, in his life. What about us, dear friends, this morning? Do you have much to thank God for? In his book, Psalms of the Heart, George Sweeting illustrated a great truth from the experience of two of Moody Bible Institute's graduates, John and Elaine Bickman. God called them to missionary work among the Col Indians of southern Mexico. Sweeting reports that they rode on mules and traveled by dugout canoes to reach this tribe. They labored 25 years with other missionaries to translate the New Testament into the language of the Col Indians. Today, the Col Church is thriving. More than 12,000 Christians make up the Col Christian community, which is financially self-supporting. What's interesting is that when the missionaries came, the Col Indians didn't know how to sing. With the coming of the gospel, however, the believers in the tribe became known as the singers. They love to sing now, Sweeting commented. Why? Because they have something to sing about. Truly, from their hearts. In their old religion, nothing to sing. In our old religion, nothing to sing to. But now with our walk with Christ, because we know Him and He knows us, do you have anything to sing about? The greatness of God, the guidance of God, and the nearness of God. No one can sing for you. It is from the heart, or else it will not be, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven." Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our heart, O Lord, this morning. For the world is wicked, the world is in darkness and in sin. And sometimes, O Lord, too often, we have allowed the world to control our eyes, our heart, and our lives. And you have seemed so far away from us. O Lord, forgive us for our waywardness. Stir within our hearts, O Lord, and open our eyes and remove our blindness, the beam that is in our eyes, that we may see the greatness of God in the world around us, that Thou art sovereign and Thou art still in control, and the greatness of God in the great salvation that Thou hast wrought for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us also to see Thy guidance, Thy providential care in protecting us week after week, day after day, and may we not take these for granted. And the nearness of God when we worship Thee, when we pray to Thee, how Thou would receive our worship and our praises, not because of who we are, what we have done, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our lives. O Lord, our God, we praise Thee and we thank Thee. And may Thou lift up our hearts and our voices in singing to praise, O Lord, the King of heaven, O my soul. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen.